This interview is being conducted for Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium project number AN08-NJ7. The interview is being conducted by Sarah Corbin.
James Rowan Sr. is assisting with the interview.
Sylvester Williams Sr. is being interviewed on April 24th, 2012 at 10 in the morning. The interview is being conducted at Sylvester's home in Klawock. So Sylvester, can you tell me about how long you've lived in Klawock and how your family came to be here, please?
I don't know how my family came to be here. My mother was part of the Watson family who lived here for years and years before they got married. My father come down from up north. He was a commercial fisherman. They got married, I don't know what year. She was 13, born in 1912. She was 13, my father was 36, so do the math. And they lived here all his life. He commercial fished, she worked in the cannery. He ended up sick in the late 50s. I was born in 1945, so I was young when we moved to Ketchikan to be close to him.
Were you born here at Klawock?
Yes, I was born in Klawock. I think on my father's seiner.
Born on the boat, huh?
Yeah. Well, all we had here at the time was a clinic, which was the blue building you see up the hill right now. It's empty. Mm.
And can you tell me about the community of Klawock and stories you know about how it was settled?
I don't know how it was settled. Like I said, it was here, what we called a divide. There's a causeway now. It used to be just a divide. There was no houses beyond that when I was a kid. The road ended there, and it also ended at this end at the cannery. None of this, where I'm living now on 2nd Street, existed. None of the homes above Totem Park existed. That's just in the last 30 years. This town has tripled in size. There used to be smaller grocery stores downtown, Bob's Store, Frank's, and Al Widmark's Sand Point. There used to be a bowling alley here. I used to set pins and earn 10 cents a game. I used to help the stores longshore their groceries when the boat come in, the mail boat.
How often was that the mail boat would come in and you'd help longshore?
I think it'd come in once a week. I don't know, we'd hear the whistle blow and we'd all go running, the kids that wanted to work. Because you'd earn a few cents, you know.
Do you remember the name of the mail boat?
Boy, not right offhand. I could if I stopped and thought about it, but.
So you moved to Ketchikan when you were young. When did you come back to Klawock?
Oh, every year, quite often we'd come back. I joined the service when I was 17. I was gone for about 7 years. Six, 7 years, and I ended up back in Ketchikan. My family was still living there, but I still came back to Klawock on fishing boats or whatever. You know, I went commercial fishing. And we frequented right Klawock because this is home. We still owned a home down here. It was still up. It was torn down by the city a few years later because it was a danger. The pilings were rotten out, so the city took it down.
Where was that home located?
On Bayview, on 525 Bayview.
Is that on the water side?
Yes, it is. It's on the land side, actually, of the road.
Right underneath Totem Park.
Okay. Got this. That's from 1965. Can you draw your house in green on the map for me, or circle it if it's there?
It's right there.
Oh, okay, this one.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the one. This is the bowling alley, and that's the sawmill. And that house is still standing right there. And I still own that property today.
Yeah. Did you ever, when you were kids, did you ever find stuff in the ground around there?
Oh, yeah.
What sort of stuff would you find?
Little things, beads. I don't know what you call it. It looks like a lighthouse if you stand it up. It was some kind of a hand tool. I've still got one around here somewhere. What do they call those? For mashing something.
Mortar.
I can't remember what they called them, but it looks like a lighthouse. I've still got one. There's a bottle we've just recently found down on my property.
Castoria.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Was it as made out of stone or is it made out of metal? What?
It's made out of stone.
Made out
it's
of stone.
Like it wasn't carved that way or purposely. It was worn that way from use.
So it's a stone hand tool.
Yeah, just... Oops. I don't think they were formed that way. I think they were just wore that way by being used so often.
Mm-hmm. Do you have that around here?
Yeah, I've got it around here someplace. I don't know exactly where.
So that
my mother has got, if you go to Ketchikan Museum, the library museum, right downtown, you look for Mabel Watson Williams, that she still has a lot of things donated to them for use. They still belong to her. It should have her name on them. Things that she'd picked up in the yard or, you know, like the old cast iron bowls or pots, rather, that to cook on. She's got a lot of that stuff in Ketchikan in the museum with her name on them.
More Dutch oven type stuff.
Yeah.
What were the beads similar to these ones?
Oh yeah, I don't have any more of them. You could still find these beads today, right on the beach in front of my house, in front of my property. In fact, my neighbor, my cousin Lenny Ray, still finds these quite often.
Yeah, quite a few.
I don't think he's found any red ones, but he finds a lot of blue ones.
Where do you think these beads came from?
I have no idea. I'm not that old. Like I said, I'm only 67.
That's the old school?
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
You can see the boardwalk.
I see they got what we call Bob's Cannery. I don't know if it was Bob's Cannery before. Was it? Is that what the name of it was, Bob's Cannery? That's what we called it, Bob's Cannery.
Mm-hmm.
That was, actually, when I was a child, it was still there.
Oh, yeah, that old.
And it just started falling down. Karen Moore, I think, owns all that property.
Oh, yeah.
I think. And this is the mailboat dock where we used to work. Right here. This is completely gone now. But the mailboat dock is where we used to longshore, you know. Frank Pradovich had a truck, and there was only like two or three vehicles in the city of Kalak. There's a school that burnt down. Oh, yeah, I recognize this whole thing.
Apart from finding stuff in your yard, did you find stuff? Did you ever find stuff other places?
No, I never really looked. Like I said, I was just a kid when I left. And you don't really look for that stuff until you get a little bit older. And, you know, like now I collect coins. What's that, honey?
I'm the scavenger.
Yeah.
I love looking for that stuff.
You want to see these, huh?
Yeah. This is really cool to see this.
This is Whitmark's store, Sand Point.
Oh. And that's the schools. Okay, so this is the one that I keep saying to make an awesome little grocery store.
It was. It's not there anymore.
Oh, okay. So
and
what
the
is
small
it?
Section, the small section used to be a ice cream parlor. And when that closed down, used to, as kids, we'd walk all the way to Craig, 6.6 miles, to get an ice cream cone, and then walk all the way back.
Must have been good ice cream.
No, it was just, you liked ice cream.
Except in the wintertime, you'd skate.
No, yeah.
All the way to Craig.
I don't remember some of these houses. When I was a kid, the city float was here. The city float was here when I was a kid.
Some of these
it's
are
just been built.
Are
this
from
is
the
older.
1930s.
Yeah, this is older than I am. This house wasn't here. This wasn't, this is a float house. It wasn't here. And there was a house right here that belonged to Domus. Remember him?
Yeah. My dad always talked about him.
God, these pictures bring back memories. This house was just recently tore down. The Dimmer house. I put a new roof on that building.
On the old store?
Yeah.
At Sandpoint?
There's the old bridge. Yeah, see, the road ended here. It's what we call the divide. And it also ended down at Camry.
When you were a kid, you said Bayview Boulevard was already gravel?
Yes. I don't remember any of the boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't remember any boardwalks when I was a kid.
How about through the rest of town? Were there boardwalks through the rest of town still, or was it all?
Well, I imagine there was, but I never paid attention to them.
Except the big one after the school.
There was a Salvation Army church down by the bridge, close to the bridge, across from where JB's house is at. And I think there was a little bit of boardwalk there when I was younger.
Is that out on the island?
No, it's right across from it.
Oh.
Chuck Sound.
Yeah. In fact, the church used to be right where Scan's house is at right now. Ray Scan's.
Oh, yeah, Ray.
Right in that area. And the post office used to be right at the corner, the old post office. And I remember the post office was on pilings. It wasn't filled like it is now. So that has been filled.
Do you remember water and sewer lines being put in or replaced ever?
No. You mean in recent times? I worked on water and sewer in Quahog.
When was that?
90s.
What portion, did you replace any portion on Bayview Boulevard?
Not on Bayview. Mostly the new housing area, which is Summit, West Street, East Street didn't exist. First, second, third, fourth, and all the way up to the dam. I run equipment on that project and worked in a ditch sometime, but mostly running front loader or backhoe or driving dump truck all the way up to the dam and all the way up through this street, which is West Street, the next street over, Summit. I don't think we did anything on Bayview.
Can you tell me about any memories you have around the Sandpoint area, the Sandpoint store?
Oh, lots of memories. What do you want to know?
I'm interested in how people used that land or what people did there, what kind of activities took place there.
It's mainly a grocery store.
So,
a lot of people brought their boats there to work on them, their beach seams. There was a longshore dock there.
Did people beach their boats right there on the...
If they had a quick repair on their seine skiff or something, not really for any length of time, I mean.
What kind of activities took place along that waterfront area all along Bayview? What kind of stuff did people do? Maybe were they cleaning fish or collecting shellfish or drying seaweed?
I don't think anybody collected shellfish down there. I really don't. They have spots they go out by skiff for. But they did clean fish wherever, mostly at their homes, their own shores, their own beaches. There was a cannery there at one time, like I said, Bob's Cannery. So that took up a lot of that shoreline. Bob's Cannery and the longshore dock, not mailboat dock is what we called it. That took up a lot of that shoreline.
Can you remember people doing any other activities in that area? Like having families drying out seaweed or?
Never paid much attention to that down there. I really didn't. I know we were on our shore right in front of our house. My father towed logs in. My mother dried seaweed there and crushed up clam shells for her garden. She'd do stuff like that down on our own beach. And we'd have to go down and cut so many blocks of wood per day, chop them up, bring them up, stack them under the house.
Was your dad bringing in logs for firewood?
Oh, yeah. And that's why he brought them in. Punishment for us kids.
Break out the old misery whip, huh?
Oh, yeah. There was such thing as a chainsaw back then.
Were any of the boat builders still operating when you were a kid?
My father was a boat builder.
Can you tell me about that place?
He was the owner and operator of the Sainer Kluwak number 4. In fact, Katie will grab a picture. I see it click in her mind. And at that time, all of the Sainer boats were wood. And my father fished his own boat, the Kluwak number 4, all summer. And in the spring, he would take numerous families out subsistence on his boat. And in the winter, my father worked at the cannery. They would pull these boats out on a, like a marine way, or they pull them out at the cannery. My father would redo these boats, replace planks that had to be replaced.
You remember.
My father, I think, had a third grade education.
Not a very good one.
But he was a boat builder. And there are carpenters alive today that are benefiting from his knowledge. One of them is young David Aniscott Jr. And he will probably tell you he learned from his father, Senior, who's passed on now. And his father learned from my dad. But he would take a plank out of a boat. The old days, you didn't have a tape measure like you have now. It was a folding tape measure. My father would take measurements off of this plank that he tore out. He would go up to the cannery, and people would watch him because they knew he only had like a third grade education. He would cut this plank out, put it in a steamer, bend it the way he wanted it, and when he took that plank down the boat, it would fit perfectly every time. And it was amazing to a lot of people how he did it. But he kept these boats rebuilt, replaced planks and repairs during the winter months so they could get back out fishing in the summer.
So he built and rebuilt the cannery boats?
He didn't build them, I don't think, but he repaired them, rebuilt them.
And he worked, where was his workshop?
I can't remember the name of a boat. Oh, God. There's
a pilot.
But it's the Danny Boy. It was the Danny Boy later. What was the name of that boat before? But they took that boat and they pulled it up. My grandfather owned it. And he wanted it, it was a double ender, he wanted it with a square back. So they pulled it up into the shop and they disassembled the back end of it, rebuilt it, and when they launched it, it looked like a new boat. It was called the Danny Boy.
Was that one of the old Libby boats?
No, it was like a double ended.
It's on there.
Trailer, I mean,
one of those pictures.
Like the Igo or something.
And it's on one of those pictures.
When they launched it, it was a square back.
Where did your dad learn to build boats?
I don't know. This is at the graveyard across the bay.
The one to the left.
This picture's taken across the bay at the graveyard right over here where we used to bury her.
When you were a kid, is that where people were buried?
Yeah. I mean, when I was an adult, they were still buried here. My father is buried over there. And he died in 1968.
When did people stop burying folks over there?
Well, I don't know the exact year, but it's only been like 20 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's only been like 20 years that they've built this one out here.
Yeah, I still remember
Do you remember some of these boats?
Yeah.
It's only been to like 20 years since they started.
Did your dad operate the sawmill that was here? Was that his sawmill?
No. I think that belonged to the Demerts. Mm-hmm. In fact, see the one you're touching right with the tip of your pen?
Mm-hmm.
This one was shut down and they started one across the street on the inland side. I believe that was infringing on my property for years. I believe it was. It was infringing on my property for years until it was torn down. If I had been living here and seen it, but now I can't, you know, I can't even find pictures of it.
I was told that there was a boat builder.
That's where the Danny Boy was built, that boat shop.
That boat shop. And that's where, and your dad would build boats out of there?
He worked down here at the cannery. There's a, where they pulled boats out. Right here at the cannery someplace.
Must have been.
I can't remember exactly where it was at. Between the cannery and the old IRA office, I think, is where the Marine Way went up. They used to pull the boats up down there, and he'd rebuild them there, because the carpenter shop was right inside the cannery. The boat shop you're pointing out down here was a privately owned boat building. It was covered. You could pull a boat up into it, and it's got a roof over it and everything. That's where he redid the I can't remember the name of the boat, but they renamed it the Danny Boy when it was launched. I remember when that happened.
Who owned that boatyard?
I think it was the Demerts. I'm not sure.
And that was their sawmill? The sawmill here and the boatyard there?
Yeah.
And do you remember other boat builders around Bayview Boulevard area?
Where they built boats?
Mm.
No, I don't remember. It was always way too shallow in here. I don't think there was any in there. Right here at the corner, this is a grocery store. That was the show hall.
Who owned this grocery store?
Bob Pradovich.
Bob Pradovich.
And this was City Hall. That's the A&B Hall there. City Hall used to be right there. I think that building's out here now, isn't it?
The old City Hall.
They picked up City Hall and they moved it out here by Black Bear.
By Black Bear.
Yeah, the whole building.
Jean Shaw.
This one was Frank's store, right at the intersection.
Do you remember, you said that the road was already there and the boardwalks weren't when you were a kid. Do you remember if the road was the same height as the buildings, or was it higher or lower than the buildings? The entryways to them.
I think they were same height, because at Frank's store, they used to have, his store was set back like 10 or 12 feet from the road, and it was on pilings, and there was a big deck, wooden deck, that was even with the road system. And Bob's store, you used to walk right in the front door, and it was level.
What sorts of things do you remember you could buy at the stores?
Big navel oranges. I mean, they were cheap, and candy. Frank's store had a lot of, like, tools. I remember candy when you first walked in the door. The vegetables were in baskets. The fruits were in baskets. Nothing in refrigeration, I mean. We used to go to Sand Point, and I remember they had clothing upstairs, hardwares, groceries were all downstairs, and he had an ice cream parlor in there. You're really pushing my memory here, you know.
Good, fun.
He remembers things all along, and he tells me about things he did as a kid here and there. And there used to be, his family not only owned the property that he showed you, but the waterfront property in front of it also. But the City Hall burned down, was it, where all the records were kept? Well, a few years later, when people were getting their deeds and stuff, somebody else's signature.
We weren't living here at the time.
Somebody else's signature was on the.
Someone else's name is on the deed for the property, so.
Yeah. Well, just the waterfront part. They didn't change where the house was.
That happened quite a bit here.
Yeah.
So that you were a fisherman?
I did for a few years. When I first came back, my father took me fishing when I was just a little boy. I had to learn how to swim before he'd take me out. I was, I think, 5 years old. I'm not sure. And I wanted to go fishing so bad that I would go down the boat and hound him. My father never spoke very much. He didn't speak very good English. He spoke Tlingit all the time. And in order to go out in a boat with him, it was a rule. I had to know how to swim. So he grabbed me by the seat of the pants and the nape of the neck and threw me off the side of the boat. And I remember almost drowning. And he didn't pay attention. He just threw me off. I felt like I was half a mile away from the boat, but it was probably only 6 or 8 feet. He turned his back on me while I was sinking, picked up a tire, because that's what they used for bumpers on the boats back then, and turned back around and hung it off the side of the boat so it was touching the water for something me to climb out of the water with if I made it back to the boat, and then tied it off to the davit. Well, I made it back to the boat, exhausted, half full of salt water that I'd swallowed, but he didn't pay attention to me. He was fixing a way for me to get out of the water if I made it back. When I climbed up onto the boat, he grabbed me again and threw me off again. I don't know how many times this happened, but the last time I remember, he was coming toward me and I knew what he was gonna do. I just turned and dove off the boat. Then he took me fishing. Then the backs of my hands were red for weeks. because my job was to bring my dad coffee, watch for fish jumping, and run the winch. Back then, they didn't have power blocks. It was a turntable. And you literally pulled this seine out of the water. It didn't go through a power block. It went over a roller. And the winch ran that roller with a bunch of ropes running around the deck. And my job was to sit there and turn the winch off and on. And when you're 5 years old, you fall asleep a lot and you get hollered at a lot. Also, when you're 5 years old, you spill coffee while you're carrying it up the ladder to the top of the wheelhouse. And you get the backs of your hands slapped quite a bit when you point at the fish jumps, because other seiners can see you pointing to where that fish jumped. That's why I got my hands slapped. My hands were red for this whole entire summer. You do not point at the fish.
It sounds like a pretty steep learning curve for a five-year-old.
Oh, yeah. When I graduated from that, I was a shore man. I must have been about 6 or 7, 8 years old when I was jump-off man, is what they called him, in the skiff. Back then, my brother was the skiff man. They didn't have a power skiff. They didn't have an outboard motor. They had a set of oars, and my brother's arms were huge. And he was only a couple, 3 years older than I was. When my father would holler, let her go, or he'd just wave, they would cut us loose. My brother would roll like mad towards the shore. And when you got real close, my job was to jump off with this rope, run up, run around the tree twice, go under the rope twice, and then jump over the rope once, hanging onto the end at all times. So it wrapped 3 times. And to stand there and hold this rope, because that was all it was holding the seine into the beach. The skiff, which my brother was sitting in, was literally picked up out of the water by the strain of the rope getting so tight the skiff would lift up out of water because it's tied to the skiff. And when my father signaled, no radios back then, when he signaled to close up, it was this signal.
Hands above
your hands
his head.
In a big circle over your head. That would be my signal to run around the tree to unwrap this rope. The time my brother's rowing towards the shore and not making any headway whatsoever, he's losing ground, and I would then run and jump and see if I could make the bow of that boat. A lot of times you didn't make it. I was in the water and wet, but it was summertime. And then coil up that rope into the bow of the boat. And then he would turn towards the boat. We didn't make any headways. I mean, you're pulling a seine, you know, and it's pretty heavy. But I was a skiff man, I mean, a jump off man.
And did your dad make the skiffs too? Did he build the skiffs?
I don't think so. I think he just worked on the big ones. Hmm. The big seiners. And David Aniskett Sr. was an apprentice of his in later years.
Who made the nets? Where did you get the nets from?
Each skipper built their own nets.
And where would they hang them? At their home, or on the beach?
No, they had a...
A net loft?
Web house, what they called it, down at the cannery. Mm. That all the skippers built their seines and rebuilt them. Mm. Web loft or web house, I can't remember what they called it. It was actually part of the cannery. But it was up to the skippers and the crew to build their own seine and repair them every year.
Did your dad own his boat, or did the cannery own it and he fished for them?
You know, I don't know. He run that from the time I can remember until the time they condemned it when he died. No one else ever run it that I know of. I think he owned it. I really do. He's the only one I remember from the time I was, like I said, I start remembering about 5 years old. And in 68, it was condemned. I don't remember anyone else ever running the Kluwak number 4. It was my father's boat.
Where did your dad grow up?
I think in Cordova. And then he moved here, or didn't move here, he come down here fishing and met my mother, and then got married and then moved here.
So your mom grew up in Kluwak?
My mother grew up, I don't think she ever left here until my father got sick. In fact, she died here. She moved to Ketchikan for a few years, and when I moved back in 74, my family slowly but surely started moving back. I was the first one that moved back here because I missed it. I love this country.
His mother was 14 years old.
My mother moved back here.
Back in those days.
I was working as a lineman in 87. And I was the only lineman, which is illegal, by the way. You cannot climb a pole unless there's someone at the bottom of that pole with a belt and hooks on ready to come up. But Clinkett and Haida Electrical was too cheap to hire another lineman. So I was climbing poles by myself, doing electrical work, sometimes in 15 mile an hour winds. But I did it for my mother. And Christmas of 87, when my mother passed on, about that time they called me up, Clinkett and Haida did, and wanted me to do a three-phase bank out at the new Isaac's hardware store, which is right out by Black Bear. And I told them no. And they said, what do you mean no? And I said, I quit. I'm not doing it. And they said, you can't quit. I said, oh yes I can. My mom died. I don't no longer have to keep the power going for the city of Kluwak. I quit. I'm not climbing a pole by myself again. The only reason I did it is I didn't want my mother to be without lights.
You were talking earlier about the lights on the boardwalk. Do you remember Kluwak being lit at night?
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's...
Or on the road, sorry, not on the boardwalk.
Yeah, the roadway had lights. Hmm. And it wasn't none of these new lights. It's the old, I remember the green top, white bottom, with a regular light bulb, like you have in your houses, screwed into it. And they weren't as tall either. The poles weren't quite as tall. But yeah, they shut the power off at a certain time in the evening. It was right when the theater let out. I know, I've cried my way home many times. Knowing I was going to be eaten by a monster. Because it's all along the water. You know, they show you an octopus movie and that octopus is real, you know?
Imagination runs wild.
Oh, yeah. But that's one that really sticks in my mind, is that giant octopus.
How often did they show films at the movie theater?
You know, I don't know. Old man Bob Pradovich used to own it. His son, Bob Pradovich, I think it was Junior, owned the grocery store. It must have been just weekends. I don't remember. I know we didn't get to go to shows that often. When we did, we had to really do something good because it was expensive, you know. 35 cents per kid to send you to the movie, buy you an ice cream, not an ice cream, popcorn, candy, and a pop. That's 35 cents. That's a lot of money back then. A lot of money.
Is it now 15 bucks just to get in?
Just to walk in. That's before you buy any snacks.
Yeah,
but I think it was 35 cents they used to give us. If I'm not mistaken, they'd give us each 35 cents, and that would be enough to take us to the movie, buy a popcorn, pop, and a candy bar for 35 cents.
Did you go to school in Kluwak?
Yes.
What ages?
I can't remember. I was still in grade school when we moved. School burnt down in, I think, 54. So I must have been 8 or 9 years old.
I was born in 54 and you're 9 years older than me.
So anyway, we moved to Ketchikan shortly after that. I went to school up in the clinic. It was either a clinic or a cannery. I think it was a clinic I went to school in. And then we moved to Ketchikan. So it was 54, 55, 56, something like that, I don't know.
Did you come back for school after that, or was it just when?
No, I stayed in Ketchikan.
Stayed in Ketchikan.
My family, back then you didn't have a ferry system. And my father, like I said, ended up in a hospital. So my mother chose to take the family over to visit him. So we packed a bag each, and I remember we were all jumping on Ellis Airlines. We flew to Ketchikan, went up and visited my father, and we just locked the house with a padlock. There are still dishes in the sink, food in the cupboards, everything's still dirty laundry in a hamper, some hanging up. She didn't have dryers, you hung your clothes and dried them that way. All our clothes are still there. She just locked up the house and we flew to Ketchikan to visit my father and couldn't afford to get back. Not having a family that large. All my brothers and sisters, we all went at the same time. So my mother went to work in Ketchikan at a place called U.S. Cafe and tried to earn enough money, but never did. So we never came back. In 1974, when I moved back, 20 years had passed since we'd been here. The house was tore down, everything was gone. I mean, it was just cleaned out. We knew where the stuff went, but what are you gonna do? So I didn't have a home to live in.
When you were little and living down by the water, what parts of town would you play in? And what kind of games would you play?
You know, we'd cover the whole town. Back then, you take a bicycle wheel and you cut all the spokes. So all you have is the rim. And you take a branch, straighter the better, salmonberry bush, whatever kind of branch. And you use that branch to push it. And you just run all over town. That was the main toy when I was a kid. Every kid had them. Just an old bicycle wheel, cut the spokes out of it, and that was, it kept us entertained and out of trouble.
Well, just running up and down the roads with your bicycle wheel.
You could actually do tricks with those things.
Huh.
Marbles didn't come in until way later.
Do you remember workers coming in the summertime, like the town filling up with people to work at the cannery?
Yeah, but they stayed at the cannery.
They didn't mix with the
Filipino bunkhouse and the white man bunkhouse. Those are still down there today, those two buildings.
So they didn't mix with the folks who lived here?
No, they didn't. I don't remember seeing them walking around downtown. They pretty much stayed at the cannery. I imagine some of them eventually stayed here and never moved away. But like I said, when you're a little kid, you don't pay too much attention to that stuff.
Right.
And we moved away when I was a kid, and I didn't move back until I was an adult.
How about your mom? You said that she had lived in Klawak all
born and raised.
Born and raised. What about her family? Had they been some of the folks who'd come down from Texarkana, or had they come up from somewhere else? Or?
I imagine they came down from Texarkana, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. They're older than me, you know, they're gone. Harry Watson Sr. My grandmother was Florence. And she passed on when I was just little. In fact, I don't even know if I was born yet, but she passed on. And my grandfather remarried to Hatse. What was her name? Emma. From Heidelberg. And Clara Pradovich, who just recently passed on, was one of her kids, one of her daughters. Adopted, I guess, I don't know for sure. I know Clara as my aunt. She's been my aunt ever since I was born. So she's my aunt. And they lived in the old house right where Clara Pradovich's house is at right now, who just passed on. I used to have to cut wood. I used to come over from Ketchikan and cut wood for my grandfather. God, that was miserable. I hated it.
How old were you when you were doing that?
I was young. I was a young teenager. Mm. Just starting to notice girls, and I had to go down with that old whoop and cut wood. But I remember my grandmother's house. When you walked into that home, oh, your mouth would start watering because you'd smell smoked salmon, full dried. I mean, I knew she had a stash of it someplace. And if you really did your job good, she'd put some in the oven or right on top of the stove for you.
Where was their house?
It was right on Bayview. Where are we at here?
So if your old house was down here by the corner in the sawmill.
Yeah, I think that's it right there.
Was this one over here, kind of close to Sand Point?
Yeah, Sand Point's right here.
Mm.
I think that's the old house there. Her house is there now.
Mm, still there.
Well, it's a new house now.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
The old house had been tore down and they built a new house there. It's the only house on that street if you turn a corner. A new one. Thomas George, her son, lives right next door to where the hill goes up to the school. So that must be his house right there. But that was Clara. That was my grandfather's house. And it was on stilts. It was like 10 feet high in front. And I remember underneath his house was always full of wood. You had to keep it that way. My grandfather was kind of religious, so he'd sit there in his chair. Nobody else sat in his chair. It was right by the front windows, and he would kind of like whistle like that through his teeth, religious songs. And my grandma would be cooking in the kitchen. I remember her cooking all the time, cooking some kind of snacks, you know. But her house always smelled awesome.
Did she make lots of traditional food, or did she?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What sort of things would she make?
She'd always have some kind of soup on. Duck soup, duck stew, venison, clams. I don't know, but the strong smell that you always smelled when you walked into an elder's home was the smoked salmon. It just makes your mouth water. I mean, if my house could smell like that, Katie would move out. She would. She'd move back to North Carolina.
I love smoked salmon, but I don't want to smell it all the time.
But that is what I grew up smelling. I mean, right now, just talking about it makes my mouth water.
So did your grandpa, was he the one who was going out and getting the fish or getting the clams or going hunting?
At that age, I imagine he went hunting, but they didn't have motors back then. All the old timers had double-ender skiffs, and they rowed out. I remember my father leaving in the morning, and my uncle, who lived just down the street on Bayview also, they would leave early in the morning, and they'd sit in the back of the boat and they'd push forward. So they'd be going facing the direction they're going. And coming back late at night, and they'd have geese, clams, seaweed, deer, whatever. Whatever they run across. I mean, you wouldn't come back empty-handed.
Where do you think they were going to get stuff?
That's where I'd have to shoot you if I told you.
They have secrets.
Break your recorder. I never tell you where I get my deer, so I'm not gonna tell you where they got theirs.
Okay, how about this? Did they go far? Did they have to travel far away to get it, or would it take them the whole day, or would they stay kind of close to the area?
They'd be gone all day. I would imagine my father sometimes come home with seaweed, and the closest place to pick that is 11 Mile.
Which I'm gonna guess is 11 miles away from Kluwak?
Roughly, I would imagine. Right now, I tell you, it's 15 minutes by boat.
Mm.
But all day back then.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the clam spots that they dug clams were right here in the backside of Wadley, which you can't find any clams now. And now I just found out that my hot spot, a little bit further out, is completely gone, cleaned out.
The backside of Wadley, where is that Wadley store?
See that island right there? That's Wadley Island.
Oh.
The big one right across from us.
Oh, okay.
On the other side of it.
Mm. Now, would they have gone to a place and that would have been their place to collect stuff? Other people would have had different places.
Well, a lot of people went to the same spots. Place? Like I said, at times I remember my father taking a Kluwak number 4 loaded with people, different families, and taking them all out to, like, say, 11 Mile. And he'd anchor out the boat and use the small boat to run people ashore, shuttle them ashore, and everyone would go to the shore and collect whatever there was to collect at that time of year. I remember Tim taking them to Hohenwald and staying for a few days out at Hohenwald. The same boat owners and operators did that for their people, much like some of the people do now. There's people that Lenny Ray Williams, myself, Marvin George. These guys are my age or younger. They go out and they collect different things right now and take it up to the elderly housing, share it with the elderly. They do it now. They make sure their elders don't do without. And I'd be doing it full time too if I didn't have to go to Ketchikan now and then.
Just showing you the things that we gather every year,
mm-hmm.
and that we live off of. This, now, that doesn't include the deer meat, which are frozen,
mm.
and the fish that's frozen, but we do plain pack,
mm-hmm.
we do smoke, this is salmon, this is halibut,
mm-hmm.
We do canned deer meat plus freeze it, and then fish eggs and sea greens. These are things that we get and they have and his family has gotten
mm-hmm.
for forever.
I learned how to put these up from my parents.
Mm-hmm. Laughing berries or smiling berries, as they call it. And I make jellies out of salmon berry, blueberry, huckleberry, raspberry, all of them.
And this year she's going to kill a deer in the backyard because it keeps eating her strawberry bushes out here. It's always here.
And the black seaweed they get from the beaches, right?
11 Mile.
Mm.
Yeah. Have you eaten any of this stuff?
Some of it, you know, I'm from Homer. So, and I live in Anchorage.
Well, if you want something, pick something. She'll open it for you.
Well, can I try some seaweed, please?
We've got a lot.
Well, not that one.
There's
not
this.
That one.
Oh, you got to dig out ground?
Yeah.
Where's the hot?
I love seaweed.
Actually, I don't have any, but I do have what's called the cheese.
Now, this is real fine.
Okay.
I have two different kinds of cheese. The soft.
Thank you.
Well, it's not soft. And I have the block that looks just like a block of cheese.
Yeah.
And that's made out of salmon eggs. It's fermented.
Cook it in with it and it re-moistens it a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah.
I eat that stuff like popcorn. Or
nice.
I put it on my rice.
Yeah.
Oh.
Fried rice. Or fish.
Love it.
So did you, when you were young, did you go out with your grandpa or your folks and do the collecting?
I went out with my parents, yeah. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times when you're young, you play more than you pick. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You eat more salmon berries and blueberries than you pick. Your bucket never gets full.
Mine did. I always took the clams out of everybody else's bucket.
Oh, and you're mine. Saying that.
Didn't you know that trick?
Well, I was always the guy that had blue lips. Telltale signs.
And then the times your mother wanted berries and she couldn't get around, so you drove her out the road.
Oh, that was later. That was later in years, before, just before she passed.
Yeah.
I had a four-wheel drive pickup, and my mother would call me up. I mean, odd times of year. Fish and Game's not going to hear this, are they?
Okay. So, I think that you've answered most of my questions, and I'm very appreciative of that, but is there anything else that you think that you'd like to share, or you think I should know about Bayview Boulevard and or Kilwauk?
Not that I can think of right offhand.
How about the ceremonies they had for the totem poles and stuff, or did they, that not come
that's
into
that's got nothing to do with Bayview.
This was not the original Kilwauk community. You told me at one time that the actual Kilwauk was actually settled
up the river, up the creek. Yeah. On the far side.
So your ancient artifacts would be up there, not here.
Could we complain about things in this too? Maybe something that'll be done?
You can say anything you like.
Like coho, silver salmon being raised in Kilwauk River.
Oh, yeah.
By a hatchery that I think should not be there. I think that hatchery should be closed. They are raising coho salmon in a sockeye stream. Mm. Sockeye eat plankton. Coho come out of the river as smolts that are roughly 3 to 4 inches long. What do you suppose these smolts are eating? When sockeye come down that river, they still have an egg sac. They're only an inch long. Mm. They've still got an egg sac on their belly. And they lowered the Dolly Varden limit to 10 per day. The Dolly Varden are in Kilwauk River by the billions. What do you suppose they're eating? They come in to eat those sockeye smolts. And who are they blaming for the decline of the sockeye? The subsistence fishermen. I'm a subsistence fisherman, so is Mr. Rowan here.
Mm. So am I.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We live on a lot of smoked salmon, plain pack, deer meat, just stuff you see on a table.
Well, I don't have anything to do with the fisheries.
I know.
But I wish I could do something.
Someone will hear it.
Yeah.
Well, now, as far as history of Kilwauk, too, before this newer bridge was built, they had the old bridge, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they used to allow fishing off of that. For the local people who didn't have boats, like the elders and anybody, actually.
Yes. I used to fish off that bridge.
Yeah.
Take three halibut hooks, tie them together, and put a lead weight on it. I used to go down there and snag fish and take them home. My mother would put them up. Yeah. Now you can't even sport fish off that bridge. Why? I'll tell you why. We don't have tourists here that are buying a fishing license. For catch and release. If you go to Ketchikan, it is shoulder to shoulder all the way across that small bridge on Stedman Street because the Fish and Game are making money off selling fishing licenses to the tourists and renting them a fishing pole. Is that the only reason Fish and Game is here? To make money?
About fishing when you were a kid, maybe you could tell me a little bit more about the fishing that you did just right around the area, and also about from your experience as a fisherman, where the deeper spots near shore are and where the shallows are. So in the old days, like the first sultry and the first cannery, I think we're over here on
across the bay
on Chuck's Island at the point, right? That's what that seems.
Not the point.
I'll have to show you some pictures. It looks, some pictures I have, it seems that the first cannery was actually right off of here and spread around here.
I don't know about that one.
But somebody told me that the deepest part is right off of the island here, so that they thought the cannery would have been up here.
There's a power plant there. In fact, the building is still there. It used to be a power plant.
But I mean the first one back in 1878.
Well, I don't remember that one. I wasn't alive.
Weren't you? Yeah, so, but you know, I'm wondering what the...
There was a cannery across the bay.
Mm-hmm. Over here.
Yeah, that one was still partially there when I was a kid. Parts of it. It wasn't in use. The two that were in use were Bob's cannery and the existing cannery down here, the coal storage.
Hmm.
IRA. I remember those two operating. I don't remember the other ones operating.
Hmm.
See, I'm just a kid.
I know.
Young buck.
Well, I could show you these pictures real quick. You might be interested in seeing them.
Lawak was settled here because of the sockeye stream. I mean, that is the best salmon there is. I mean, yeah. Bar none. It's best for smoking, for plain packing, for grinding and making hash with. It's best for everything.